So within the Theravada tradition, particularly, we talk about the emptiness of self. And we work on realizing that emptiness. Empty, not in the sense of something not existing, but recognizing that all that exists is compounded. It is, in two words, cause and condition. And so we are encouraged to exhort and exert ourselves to enter this kind of understanding. The Mahayana and the Vajrayana have additional practice techniques that help us to also realize the emptiness of all phenomena, not just ourselves as human. The saying that if we're so much like a car, you know, if you dismantle it piece by piece, where is the car? The car does not exist. You might have a wheel, you have a towel, a, you know, steering wheel, you have a rubber wheel, you have a car seat, you have a, you know, engine, yeah, but not car. It's only when they come together in a certain way do we have a car. We say that this is a building, but actually it's empty also. Because if you stripped it down, you'd have cords, you have lights, you have doors, you have a flooring, you know, but only together in a certain configuration does it become something. Does it become a building or a house? We have clothing and we have buttons and we have zippers and we have cotton and but only when it is sewn together and fashioned in a certain configuration do we have shirt. So in that sense, the shirt is empty of any inherent existence. It is just the amalgamation of parts. And then we name it. That's why the Buddha calls it name and form. Name and form. You see. And so it's in that sense that it's empty. It's in that sense that it's not real, or it's in that sense that it is false. And he says that also this life that we live, and if we think it's false in that way, we think, well, we can change some things and we have a different situation. You know how we repurpose stuff and we'll take something and make it into a piece of furniture. You know, or we'll take something and make it into something else. And now it's that. And he says that's how we should think about ourselves. If we thought about ourselves that way, just if we thought about ourselves that way, then we wouldn't be so hard on ourselves. We wouldn't put people in a forever category. Oh, he's no good. He's never going to amount to anything. We wouldn't be so concerned and so worried about a mistake that we made. If there was an opportunity to do something different in the next week or the next day or even in the next moment, we wouldn't hold on to it so long, eating away at you. I know a person who made a decision 7 years ago. He's in that same spot in his mind today. And it's literally killing them, you know, bitterness, regret, anger, never leaving it for a moment, when all one has to do is leave it. But if we regress, it doesn't mean things don't happen. But it's, and we don't have a feeling about it. But where did we break the cord for our deliverance? Between feeling and grasping. Grasping, that's to grasp. To grab onto it and hold it as if it is permanent. That's what makes us angry. That's what makes us afraid. That's what gives us anxiety. That's what all of these things. Some experience that we have, we felt it. And we grabbed onto it. And we tenaciously will not let it go. It becomes part of us. Until we remember that did happen, but that doesn't have to define me. So in this first practice, and these are going to be short, but they'll take till lunchtime because we have so many of them. So in this first practice, think about something that has you captured, that you just can't let go of. I thought I had taken care of the ant thing, the bug thing for me, you know, because I work on it every day. It's a little hard to work on it though when you don't have bugs in your house, you know, so I don't, you know, I have to catch it when I can somewhere. But just thinking about something that is, that you still hold the hurt over, still hold trepidation around, still hold fear around, still hold confusion around, still hold anything that stops you and brings you to a full you because of feeling. I want you to get that thing in your mind right now. And now this is a method. It's just a method that one uses. If you can take that one thing and think of it as having a basis of impermanence, that means that it was only, it's only present because you're holding to its compounded form. Whatever has been said has already been said. It's not being said now. So now it can disappear, revert back to its emptiness. It was said, but it's not being said right now. And even if it was something that was said this morning, it's not being said at this moment. It only has a life extension because you choose to keep renewing, renewing, renewing it. But I'm asking you right now, can you see that that moment has passed? You can't dip your finger in the same river twice. There's a constant flow of things coming into existence and going out. That came into existence. And although it's not there now, you hold it there through your grasping. Can you see the illusionary nature, the illusory nature of that incident? It is not in this moment, except your mind is bringing it up. And all eyes can be closed at this time because I want to work with the room and I don't want anybody to see anybody else. But when you can see this, oh, something my father said to me when I was a child, something my father did to me continually, not one time, many times when I was a child, something that my mother didn't do, didn't give me, something my friend betrayed me, my friend did this thing one time and I just can't forgive, I just can't forget it, or I forgive it but I don't forget it, or I it's just there. I just keep bringing it alive, reproducing it over and over. When you have that thing, could you just put your hand up real quickly and take it down? When you have that thing. And when we can think about what the Dharma says, is that every nanosecond, even smaller than a nanosecond of time, everything is changing, rearranging, and it's compounding. It's coming and it's going. It never stays. So if you could see that thing that you're holding so tightly, just fading away, just gradually fading away, because the only thing that's keeping it as alive is your holding on to it. And as it begins to fade away, if it begins to fade away, what is the tendency of the mind? Notice right now, what is the tendency of the mind? The tendency is to want to put something else there, right? It's the tendency to want to put another picture, another image, go to something else, revive that. But in the beginning, when the opportunity was offered to let it just move into the background and dissolve because it is no longer present in this moment, even if it occurred this morning. Just like you took a break a few minutes ago. You can recall that you took a break, but actually the break is over. But you don't care that much about the break. So the break is not staying in your mind. It's your grasping around this incident, these particular words that have been spoken, that wounded, that angered, or that hurt. That's all you're holding to. It's the memory of it, not the real thing. Don't hold on to the false. And can you just allow the truth of the emptiness of that moment and allow it to fade away? Peering into the vastness of the emptiness behind the closed eyelids.